Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Happy Memorial Day. I hope you are doing well. Maybe you thought I wasn't going to do the show today. I didn't even put it up at 8:35, but I was ready to go now. So I screw around. It says Tiger Showdown there. It's really Motown Showdown. That's what it should have been. Motown Showdown. It is the best team in the American League versus your San Francisco Giants. I got the Giants head on today because, I don't know, feeling good. Weather's kind of iffy, but big test for the Giants. Plus, ESPN put something out there. Do I have it up there? Yeah, I do have it up there. We'll take a look at it a little bit later. But welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you are off today. I hope you're just chilling, maybe having some coffee this morning as you watch episode 150. Maybe you're watching it live. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. If you're watching it later, that is great as well. Maybe you're listening on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We are live on YouTube right now. If you'd migrate over, there are different ways that you can watch the show. Obviously, you can watch on X. Maybe you're doing that right now, which is totally cool. At John Lund Radio, you can watch on X. You can watch on Instagram as well, at John Lund Radio on Instagram. So however you are watching, definitely appreciate it. But if you'd migrate over to YouTube at some point, that would be tremendous. We have built a great, great community of people who are fun, and we like to hang out, talk some sports and other things, which is why there's a random at the bottom there of what I do. But it is episode 150. We are on YouTube at John Lund or John Lund Unleashed. Bay Area Sports Collective as well, which is a collective of radio shows from a bunch of folks who used to be on KNBR, but also we've added to that. So it's my show, John Lund Unleashed. It's the Tom Tolbert Show. It's Polymax Particles with Polymac and Creative Tony, which is great. Rod Brooks has joined us. Amy G has joined us. Jeremy Affelt. So a bunch of great podcasts and YouTube shows over on the Bay Area Sports Collective. So if you would give us a follow as well, that would be outstanding. Thank you for doing that. So happy Monday to you. Happy Memorial Day to you. No days off. I take Sundays off, but I go 6 days a week. If you are wondering, we go around 8 o'clock. But it was a little late today. It is Memorial Day after all. So I had some stuff we had to do. By the way, went up to the A's game for the second time. Had a really good time. I went to the third game of the year so that I could talk about it against the Cubs. Yesterday it was packed. It was about 80. When it's going to be 100 degrees up in Sacramento, it's going to be insane. But walk the yard. Yesterday, tons of Philly fans. They have the best record in the National League. Now we're going to see the Tigers today for the Giants' best record in the American League. But they're impressive. But the A's come back, get a victory. Mason Miller closes it out. Good time had by all at the yard. Shout out to my good friend Chris Townsend. It was great to see Townie. I hadn't seen him in probably a year. He knew my son. We went to the Harlem Globetrotters together in San Jose, Townie and I, probably in 2000, I don't know, 12 or 13. Kids are really little. My son actually left his iPad. I had to run back into the arena and get it. So I've known Townie forever, and it was really cool to see him and Steve Sachs and see the A's break a 10-game losing streak. And like I said, to each their own, if you need that extra layer on a Major League Baseball stadium, I totally understand it. I get the frustration for players. Mark Kotze got thrown out of the game yesterday and had to do like a walk of shame around and out because that's where the locker rooms are, the clubhouse is. Not great. So it's not perfect, but in terms of, you know, good day at the ballpark, which is all I really care about, it was a good time had by all. Had a good time, had a few beers, hung out with some really cool people, talked to some people who were fans of KNBR and actually listened to John Lund Unleashed and watched John Lund Unleashed. So thank you very much for that. So great time at the ball yard yesterday as we hung out. So got a lot of stuff to go to today. Episode 150, Robbie Ray at the top there. Motown Showdown we'll get into. Are the Giants real? ESPN doesn't seem to think so. We'll debate that and discuss. 2012, how can you, and I forgot, one thing I did forget this morning, and I should have grabbed it. I was going to grab, I can still tell the story, but Pablo hitting the three home runs, two off Verlander, one off Albuquerque. So we got that as well. Brock's Real Deal Part 2, it depends on who you believe. A lot of people hit me up like, hey, Spot Rack was wrong. They corrected themselves. It's still a good deal for Brock, regardless of what the real deal is. So we'll get into that conversation. Interesting piece I think the Bleacher Report about guys that are still out there, it's pretty amazing to me that there are a number of different players that the 49ers could use. And I do think they'll make a signing, a veteran signing. I think a safety is really what they need. But a lot of people are fixated on the receiver position. I'm not as much. And I don't know that they're going to spend their resources there. But some interesting names have popped up that I didn't even realize were still available. So we'll do that. NBA playoffs. I don't know why everything is better in a foreign language when they call these, although Harlan is pretty great. But I got that for you as well. Sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol about eating some ashes and random things happen throughout the show. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us. A ton to get to today. And the Giants and the Tigers play at, 10-10? So we'll give you a quick one today and hang out. Good morning to everybody. It is great to see everybody. This is awesome, man, that people I know you're off today. A lot of people are off today, but you're hanging. Daniel and Skills and Lost Crew, good to see you. Kenny, you're one of my favorites. 420 is here today. Enrique, it is great to see you. Joy, good morning, all, she says. Very nice. Jake, Scott, everybody, good morning, good morning, good morning. Joji, it's good to see you, my friend. Konnichiwa, as you say. That's very, very cool, man. So good morning to everybody, man. It is really cool to see you, and thank you for taking the time, especially on this Memorial Day weekend where maybe you're up early, maybe you're grabbing some coffee like me, and you're like, yeah, they're very nice. By the way, I don't get paid by Yeti, but these Yetis, man, they keep the coffee warm the whole show. It's out freaking standing. So anyway, great stuff. Good morning. I hope you are having hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you have something cool planned today. Maybe you're going to barbecue. I don't know. Like I said, the weather's not, at least in the East Bay, is not cooperating so much. So let's get to it. Before we get into what happens today against the Motor City Kitties, Robbie Ray, man, what a pickup he's been. Here's just a sampling of yesterday in Washington.
Strike three call. It's part of the whole breathing mechanism for Robbie Ray. Got him. Another fastball at 95. Well, that's a good battle here. 3-2. Lyle strikes out swinging.
You get the idea. There was a lot of that yesterday in Washington against the Nationals. It's funny. My son and I were driving up to Sacramento yesterday to go to A's Phillies, and we're just baseball junkies. He's an A's guy, but I'm just a baseball junkie. And like I said, I think we got third row seats behind the A's dugout for the parking was more expensive. Let's just put it that way. But so I just love watching ball, and it was cool watching Mason Miller up close. But, you know, what we were talking about on the way there was the Robbie Ray trade, which was, okay, he's got TJ. They wanted to get rid of him. Mitch Haniger had been successful in Seattle. Maybe it's a change of scenery kind of thing. As much as we, detest, is that too strong of a word for Farhan? I wasn't a big Farhan fan. Personally, like I said, I've said this before, he was on with Tom Tolbert and I, and I enjoyed talking to Farhan the person, but in terms of the things that he did and everything, I think he was a double secret agent for the Dodgers and screwed up the Giants for the long term. But you cannot deny that the Robbie Ray trade might be his best. I mean, just to absolutely fleece Seattle was like, do we want to go through the rehab or Robbie Ray? I mean, right now the dude's an all-star. He's got a 2.57 ERA, and I know that wins and losses aren't, everybody freaks out over that. What is he, 7-0 with a 2.57? I mean, it means something because at the end of the day, you're supposed to win games. Now, having said that, Jesus Luzardo pitched great for the Phillies, and he didn't get a win yesterday. So I understand why it's a new valued stat, but still, it's up to you to win games. And Robbie Ray has just been absolutely great. In fact, he's probably been their number one starter. So to have a number one and two like what Logan Webb generally brings to the table, and then what Robbie Ray is bringing to the table just about every time he is out there. And he had some kind of struggles, but now he is just rocking and rolling. By the way, I don't know if the Monica Seles grunt that he gives every single time, if that alarms batters. I don't know. Probably doesn't help. But anyway, Robbie Ray has been absolutely great. And that leads us to, and I can already see it in the chat room, people talking about it. And that's why I did the show cover like I did today, because it's a Motown showdown. It says Tiger Shit in there, but it's a Motown showdown for episode 150 here. And there's Mr. Hayden Birdsong. And to me, it's a really important one. And not only that, let me share the screen with you real quick, because they have an advantage in the pitch. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win every single game and you have the pitching advantage, but in the three, because Tarek Skubal just went yesterday, thank goodness, because they don't have to see him. He's the best pitcher in baseball for Detroit. Birdsong today, advantage Birdsong, Logan Webb, Jack Flaherty. I was talking about Jack Flaherty being a Giant to give him some depth. He hasn't been great. for the Tigers, but there's Logan Webb. That should be an advantage. And there's Landon Roop, who in the month of May has been absolutely great. So if he can continue what he's done in May, that should be advantage Giants. So as good as the Tigers are, and that's hard that it comes out of my mouth like that because I lived in Detroit when they won 43 baseball games in a season. As good as Detroit is, the number one team in the American League, those three pitching matchups that you see on your screen there, advantage Giants. Now, again, it doesn't mean that they're going to win these games. I get that, but they should have an advantage. And as we pointed out and talked about last week, as far as Hayden Birdsong is concerned, you got Webb, you got Ray. This is the guy that's number three in the rotation. And if he can solidify that third spot in the rotation, Landon Roop is going to be up and down. Wasn't great in April, has been really good in May. I don't expect him to be really, really consistent. I've told you this before. Justin Verlander, ironically enough, is not going to pitch in Detroit. That's too bad for him. It'd be cool. And he's pitched there plenty of times, but still, I talked to Justin about it after his first couple of starts because I was at his first start, actually, July 4th. It was a doubleheader, and he got called up. Number two overall pick, he got called up as in the second part of a doubleheader, and I talked to him about it. It's funny. I'm like, dude, I'm so old that I actually saw your debut, and it was a backside of a July 4th doubleheader. He's like, he looked at me like, are you crazy? You got to be kidding me. Yeah. So I got that as far as the Tigers. But as we look at the standings here, let me just pop these up for you really quick. Let me do another. Let me share my screen one more time with you, and we'll look at the standings real quick. If you don't believe me, the Motor City Kitties are right there, as you see right there. There's Detroit on top, barely over the Yankees, but 34-20 for the Tigers. Now, it's when you catch somebody. They're 5-5 in the last 10, so they're down a little bit. But look at that, plus 79 in the run differential. So it's not like they've been barely beaten teams. They're 18-8 at home. That's a good baseball team. So they're the top of the American League, and you don't have to go too far to see the Giants. And I just saw the Phillies over the weekend, and even though they lost that game yesterday, they're real good. The Cubs' offense is outstanding. Dodgers just lost 2-3. That's good. I think the Mets are here to stay. The Padres are here to stay. All of a sudden, the Cardinals are playing some pretty good baseball, so we know what the Diamondbacks are all about. Then I think you kind of hit a line right there. I don't know what Cincinnati's going to be. These are sub-500 teams. I don't expect Arizona to be a sub-500 team, but this is why I keep talking about, you know, Milwaukee's kind of hanging around. That's why they talk about the Rhys Hoskins. And I saw Hoskins' jersey of Phillies, Rhys Hoskins, because it was Phillies A's yesterday. It's like, they need that guy. The Braves are starting to come out of it a little bit as well. And then I saw the Nationals yesterday. That's the bottom of the barrel as far as that goes. So anyway, big matchup today, a big matchup series, I think, against Detroit, because that's the best team in the American League. So that's not a bad baseball team. And it always brings me back to, and I'll do Giants for real in just a second. I'm going to skip ahead to 2012 on the chalkboard. And then we'll go back to Giants for real because ESPN doesn't seem to think so. So I'll get into that in just a second. But every time you play the Tigers, maybe you're different, and it's been now 13 years, right? 10, 12, 14, and 12, they played the Tigers. And I just remember they set us up in what they call auxiliary media. So they put us up in those seats that are way up high in left field, like this corner, and you have like your computer, and you're trying to like type and stuff like that and put notes together because I had a post-game show to do. And Pablo hits the first one, right? And people are going crazy. Pablo hits the second one. People are going crazy. Pablo hits the third one off Albuquerque. And I'm way up in the left field stands in auxiliary media. And all of a sudden it breaks out, Joe Buck sucks. Joe Buck sucks. It was hilarious because earlier in that day he had, and Fox put this together, he had nothing to do with it. He'd taken a cable car and candlestick what was it called at that time? Was it AT&T at that time? Whatever, to the yard. And we all know that you can't get up there, but Fox did it. And so everyone was giving Joe Buck grief about it and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that broke out after the third home run. And we know what, the throw to get Prince Fielder at the plate and Barry Zito and he outduels Verlander. And remember, that was just after, it was a couple series, but where Detroit, he and Max Scherzer just shut down the A's. And I was at that game five, A's and Tigers, and was like, who's going to touch these guys? Who's going to touch Verlander? Who's going to touch Scherzer? I mean, they were at the height of their powers. And that game, game one, he hits the three home runs. It's like, well, this thing's already over. I mean, this thing's already over, and they're playing the Tigers. And anyway, and we all remember Sergio Romo with the, you know, it slips a fastball by Miggy at what, 89 to win the World Series. I mean, just incredible stuff. So anytime I see the Tigers, it doesn't matter how much time has passed. That's what I think. I think right away I go back to game one. I go back to Pablo. I go back to Sergio Romo. I go back, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, Verlander, Scherzer was like, man, those guys were good. And the Giants beat them. So anyway, always go back to that. All right. As far as this is interesting, and you know me, I don't much care what national guys think, but I know this is going to be a topic, so I'd like to bring it up and see what everybody says about it. But we're, you know, 50-plus games into this whole thing. So let me – yeah, this is the thing right here. So this, I read this morning on ESPN. Memorial Day, MLB standings check, surprises, letdowns, and more. And first thing that jumps out, a lot of people said Rockies. Like, I don't care how bad – just how bad they are. But this is the one that got me, and it was the second column. So it was of the six NL teams currently in the playoff field, how many will be there in October? So, you know, Doolittle goes down, whoever that is, and says, blah, 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 blah. Says the Giants have been terrific, but I still think the Braves, blah, blah, blah. So they throw out the Giants there. Olney, Buster Olney. I'll say for the current six, he says, will be playoff teams. He says Phillies, Mets, Cubs, Dodgers. The Giants have played well, and it seems that Buster Posey will be aggressive before the deadline. Cardinals have played better. He says the same thing. Don't trust the Giants. Rogers, five of the current six will be there in October. As good as the Giants have been, I don't think they can sustain it over 162. And then we've had this guy on, Schoenfeld. I'm in the same boat. I'll say five of the six, either the Giants or Cardinals, eventually falling short. So basically all of these guys, quote-unquote experts, one, two, three, four guys, say that in the National League, five of the six or four of the six teams will be there, and they all say that the Giants will not in some way, shape, or form. So they don't believe that the Giants are for real. Biggest disappointment, don't care. How many will win 100? That's not going to do with the Giants, and I don't even want to think about that. Anyway, there you go right there. So they don't think – I'm sorry, I'm making your eyes go blurry here. They don't think that the Giants are going to be for real right there of the teams in the – of the six NL teams. How many will be there in October? None of those guys think that it's going to be the Giants. That's okay. I don't care what experts say. I'm a believer. We're 50-plus games into the season. And the one thing that keeps jumping out at me as far as the Giants are concerned, if we assess them at this point, the bullpen is number one in baseball. And that's going to continue unless they burn the bullpen out. I keep saying that. But unless they burn the bullpen out, they're above average defensively. The offense, it's Buster has just got to get on the horn as fast as he possibly can. They cannot continue at first base. I've beat that horse to literally a pulp, so I'm not doing that anymore. You know how I feel about it. But if you just look at what they do, okay, the relievers are good. The starters can be better. I think that I don't think Robbie Ray is pitching, you know, like in a crazy career year kind of a thing. I think Robbie Ray can pitch like this. Logan Webb, we know, can pitch like this. Hayden Birdsong, this is another big start for him because the organization was like, is he, can he, can't he? Let's, you know, fine-tooth comb this. They're not going to just give him a big runway. So I think this is big for Hayden Birdsong today. I think it's a big start. I know there's 162 games. I know there's a lot, you know, whatever, but I think it's a big start to solidify Hayden Birdsong in the rotation. Hopefully he can throw some more pitches. What was it? I think he was capped at 75 last time. Hopefully if he's rolling, he continues to go. It's not easy against Detroit, but I think this is a really big start for him. Landon Roop, I think, is going to be up and down, and if Verlander can solidify it, I actually think the rotation can be better. Penn is good. Defense is good. It comes down to, as it always does with the Giants, can they score four? Four score and whatever. Can they score four? That's what it comes down to. So we keep talking about this. I like Fitzgerald. Adames has got to come around, doesn't he? Chapman, he's got a track record. The outfield is actually, which was a dumpster fire a few years ago. I'm all right with Ramos and Lee and Yastrzemski, and I keep waiting for Yastrzemski to do that roller coaster thing, but he's not. So I'm just going to ride it as long as I can and not really talk about it. Bailey's Bailey. That's why they can't have a first base and a catcher that are completely ineffective at the plate. But okay, I'll trust Buster at some point here sooner rather than later to go out and get somebody. So it's going to come down to the offense. But it's not, you know, when I look at him and here's the problem when you give the division to the Dodgers, which unfortunately for the foreseeable future, that's going to be the case. Then you're dealing with there's three playoff teams, and I just saw the Phillies yesterday. That's a good team. That's a playoff team. There's no doubt in my mind. The Phillies are a playoff team. They keep bringing up Atlanta. The Mets are a playoff team, and they're going to spend money. They have an owner that if they're in it, they're definitely going to add. The Dodgers are definitely going to add. The Padres have been aggressive at the trade deadline. They're probably going to add. So that puts pressure to me on Buster Posey because I think this is a playoff team. I think the Giants are a playoff team. Are they perfect? No. They need a first baseman worse than any team needs a position in the sport. That's what it comes down to. The Giants have a need at first base bigger than any other need for any other team at any other position in Major League Baseball. And that's why I think that he cannot wait till the end of July, cannot wait till the beginning of July. We're coming up on June 1st. It's time. And every time the Brewers win, I wince because I want him to go like 10 games under 500. So they go, fine, just take Rhys Hoskins, take him, fine. But they're just hanging around. I don't consider them a contender for the wild card. The Giants, the Padres, depending on what you're doing in the East, let's say right now Philly's number one, but the Mets then Atlanta and St. Louis is emerging and we already know about the Cubs. So, it's going to be difficult and you cannot wait and continue to give these at bats away. That's my thought. So I'm not going to continue to beat on that, but it is what it is. So Robbie Ray, great. Motown showdown. The Giants should have, I think, three advantages in the rotation. I think Birdsong's start today is very, very big. Are the Giants for real? I will disagree respectfully with the so-called experts of ESPN. I think the Giants are in this thing. But there's an asterisk by it, which is, Buster, get on your horse, man, and don't wait until July 31st because it's going to be too late because there's far too much competition and good teams are starting to emerge in the National League. That puts pressure on Buster, and I know there are certain guys you don't want to part with. You may have to, somebody that you don't want to part with, and will they become a Zach Wheeler later on? You hope not, but that may be what it takes to get into the playoffs. 2012, I always bring that up when the Giants play the Tigers. I just can't get past it. It's crazy. Let me hit some things up before I go on to the 49ers, because a lot of people hit me up with this, and I really appreciate it. As far as SpotRack changed their numbers on Brock Purdy, it doesn't change the premise to me, really, in terms of, okay, it's a little bit more to get out after 3 years, those kind of things. But again, with the cap going up, so I'm going to explain that in just a second. But any Giants things that you want to go? Doji says, letting VR go. I love David VR, man. He's such a good dude. He was on he's on my radio show like four or five times. And I think finally he did what's right for him, which is he's worked and he's a really smart baseball guy. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a coach one day. He really can talk about his swing and what he needs to work on and all those kind of things. But he seems to me like just your prototypical 4A player, really nice AAA player who just can't get it going as far as the majors. And they released him a number of times and he cleared waivers and always came back. And I think this time he's like, you know what? I just need a change of scenery. Let's just see. And it's unfortunate because with VR, he had a shot at the third base job at a point during his career. And then JD Davis kind of emerged and then they traded for Chapman. And so that was gone. First base is a screaming need and he just couldn't get it going. Like, Casey Schmidt, David VR, any of these guys, if they could get their stick going a little bit, then Lamont Wade Jr. would be, benched, but none of these guys can get it going. And for some reason, Lamont Wade Jr. must have naked pictures of somebody because they just keep throwing him in there. And it's like, oh my God. Stop, man. It's like, please don't put him in there. But anyway, I haven't seen today's lineup, so don't start. Don't get me going on this. Let's see. thank you, my friend, Papa J. If you got two thumbs, smash both channels. Yeah, not only are our channels, hi, Papa J, not only are our channels doing great, but it's really cool that we're adding these shows. And if you weren't with us last week, let me see if I still have these in my thing here, because like I said, they don't tell me anything anymore because they're just like, if we tell Lund, he'll tell everybody. Let's see. I think I took them away. Oh, announcement. There we go. Yeah, there's the actual announcement. So make sure that you see that B at the top there, Bay Area Sports Collective. Make sure that you see that when you go over to the page on YouTube. But there you go. Amy G, Jeremy Affelt, and Rod Brooks all have been added to the roster at the Bay Area Sports Collective. So make sure that you, if you're like, I don't like Lund, I don't like Tolbert, I don't like Polly, which you do, but I'm just saying, if you didn't, then that's a good reason to make sure that you hit up the podcast. Let me make sure, do I have anything else baseball-wise before I move on here? I do not. Okay. All right, let's move on to Brock. So this is yesterday, when this first came out, and I was waiting for the numbers to come out, there's two places you can go. You can go to Spot Rack, which does a really nice job, and you can go to Over the Cap. Those are two places that you can learn about salaries and things like that. And so let me hold on just a second. Let me share my screen with you, because both of them have different things here, and it just depends on what you're believing. So let me just, here's Over the Cap as far as Brock's, and hopefully you can read all that. But essentially what they're saying is what I reported last week, which is this is a three-year contract. Essentially, as you see right there under guaranteed salary right there, the fourth year, there's no more guarantees, which means the contract's over. I mean, it doesn't mean it's over. I should correct that. It means that if you're not in love with that person, you can let them go. And then there's a $16 million dead cap hit, as you can see right there, $16 million dead cap. You see no more guaranteed money. So the first year, the cap hit is what matters. And those are the same. 9.1, very reasonable. 24.7, very reasonable. 30.8, very reasonable. And then they say at the end of 3 years, and I reported this, that you could get out for $16 million if you did not love Brock Purdy. So that's a pretty good deal. Now, okay, that's what Spot Rack is still reporting. So, or excuse me, Over the Cap is still reporting. So Spot Rack and Over the Cap had that same thing, and then Spot Rack changed it. So you see right there, very reasonable contract for the 49ers for the first 3 years of the contract. So let me move this. Let me move over and look at what Spot Rack did, because they changed it. And so everybody was like, Lund, they change it. It's not the same. So here is Brock's deal on Spot Rack. So this used to say three, and then they could get out of it for $16 million. Same kind of a thing. Three-year deal, 115 plus, and they could get out of it for 16, but then they changed it to 38. Now, that's a lot of money. And again, same cap hits, 9, 24.7, 30.8. So the first 3 years of his deal, and I'll say this one more time and then forever rest in peace. This is not the reason why they purged the roster this offseason. 9, 24.7, and 30.8 is not at the quarterback position, is not going to cause them to do the things that they did. It's not. Even in the fourth year of the deal, which is $57 million, I keep telling you this, the cap goes up and up and up. It almost went up 25%. Just season to season, almost 25%. So by the time that fourth year, $57 million is up, that's not going to be what it is in today's dollars. Neither is the dead cap. So if they still hate him and if they don't like him after 3 years, which is unlikely, but if they don't, then taking a $38 million cap hit is not going to be that crazy. Even though it sounds like it, you can distribute that over a couple of different years. Maybe the kid from Indiana that they took, maybe, you know, whatever the case may be, lots of weird things can happen between now and then. He has a major injury, whatever the case may be, they could get out for 38. It's not 16, I get it, but they can distribute that. I tell you this all the time, and this doesn't change, that the salary cap is still fluid and they'll be fine. So it doesn't really change the premise. It does change, yeah, an extra $20 million after the third year. Is that a lot of money? Yeah, sure. But it's not absolutely huge. If they still love him, then it's still, you're at $47 million right there. Excuse me, $57 million right there. And the dead cap money then is down to 23. And so it's still a good deal for the 49ers. It changes a little bit, yes. I would imagine, you know, of the two, because they had this thing exactly the same, and then they updated theirs. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Spot Rack is probably right, only because it just seemed to me that at the end of 3 years, that number of 16, which is what it was changed from 16 to 38, it did seem a bit low. So logic would tell me that, okay, you're going to, if you wanted to get out after 3 years, it would be $38 million, whatever. The premise to me is still the same. So anyway, just wanted to update you on that. You and I think, are on the same boat as far as this is concerned. I hate really talking about the math of things. I love talking about the game itself, but there are certain times that you have to talk about it. And certainly at the quarterback position, you have to talk about it, because it's, the cost is so prohibitive that you're like, oh my God, what's, you know, how is this going to affect the roster? I'll say this the last time. It's not why they purged. They purged Debo because his best football is behind him. They purged Funga because he's hurt. They purged Leonard Floyd because if you watch the 600 snaps besides the 8 sacks, he was terrible, especially against the run. He's just too thin. He can't set an edge, on and on and on and on and on. And for the most part, they've replaced those players already. As much as I like Charvarius Ward and how great he was, especially when they went to the Super Bowl, and even the year before, he was great. He was a great 49er. Last year, because of the off-the-field stuff, he just wasn't himself. And Renardo Green was actually a better player, and Renardo Green is an ascending player. So as much as I'm nervous about the secondary because of the Mustafa injury, what they did and how they planned and all those kind of things. I get it. I've said this before. I just didn't like the response. Okay, you let these guys go. That's fine. You let these guys go. I get it. I know why you're purging. You think for the most part with those guys, they're either too injured or their best football is behind them. I get it. I understand it. But, you know, signing 100 special teams guys, but not the kicker, that made me a little bit like, my thoughts on that. That leads us right into this 49ers pickup thing. So this was really interesting. Did I do that? Let me see. Make sure I have it. I think I do. I'll share my screen with you again on this. And if not, then I can just tell you about it. Because there was a thing I saw this morning, and maybe I didn't put this up on the screen, which is fine, because then what we can do is we can just talk about it. Yeah, I don't see it. All right. So Bleacher Report put this thing out, and they had a bunch of guys, and I'm like, oh, that guy's still available? Oh, my God. So Amari Cooper is still out there. So for people who want a wide receiver, Bleacher Report, basically the piece was, one player or one thing, it was one thing that each NFL team needs to do before the start of the season. And for the Niners, they said pick up Amari Cooper, which I didn't realize Amari Cooper was still available. And remember, a year ago, and it quite hadn't hit its crescendo yet, but a year ago, there was that discussion that Brandon Ayuk could go to Cleveland, and as part of a return package, which I think was a couple of second-round picks, was going to be Amari Cooper. And a lot of people are like, I don't have a problem with Amari Cooper. Then he goes to Buffalo and he's just not very good. So I don't know if he's done, whatever the case may be. I don't know what his injury status is, but would I disagree if they picked up Amari Cooper? I would not. That would be all right. But then I saw guys like Justin Simmons, a safety, and is he done? He was great in Denver, was not great last year in Atlanta. But I keep telling you about this Tashaun Gibson kind of a thing that I have in my head. I don't want Tashaun Gibson himself. I'm saying as I look at this secondary right now and the youth they have, and especially with Mustafa's injury, and I'm not a huge Jair Brown fan. I hope he proves me wrong. But I think they need an adult in the room in the deep secondary. And whether that can be Justin Simmons or there was a couple other safeties that were mentioned in that piece. And now I think about it, I'd like to find that piece because they mentioned somebody else in there. Yeah, you know what? I didn't. I took screenshots of it. Hang on one second. I'm gonna pull up a name here that I think I took a screenshot of, actually, that I want to make sure. Maybe I didn't. God dang it. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did not do that. Yeah. Nope, I didn't. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, here. Okay, this is the agreed term. Mark Cooper. What was the other names out there? Oh, Asante Samuel Jr. was one, the corner. That's interesting. Julian Blackman, that was a number. So this is interesting to me. Julian Blackman was a third-round pick of Indianapolis. He's a nice player. And the Niners actually brought him in last year, not this year, but last year. And he had a really nice year. And for some reason, he's still out there. And he's only like 27, 20 years old. He's a young guy. He's still a young guy. That was the name, Julian Blackman. Who Indianapolis, nice player, former third round pick, went to Utah. I really like him. And, you know, this is the time of year where an Asante Samuel is out there, a Julian Blackman is out there, an Amari Cooper is out there. There's like, you're going, I'm not saying that that's going to change your season, but like I said, a couple of years ago when they went to the Super Bowl and they picked up Tashaun Gibson and, you know, the new rules and everything because of COVID, where you could stash veterans on the practice squad without him, like, and he didn't have a good Super Bowl. I understand that, but still, having that veteran presence. So Julian Blackman was the name that popped out at me. And I'm like, there's guys out there. So everybody, a lot of people are worried about the wide receiver position, and I understand why. But to me, the Niners are going to score points. I've told you this before. I think the Niners are going to score points. You're bringing back Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk at some point. The line's got to be better. George Kittle is back. They've got enough weapons to score points. I believe that. Now, would a Cooper be nice? Yeah. But still, I just think the Niners, and they have, people are going to, they have like $40 million in cap space. They do such a good job of rolling things over and everything. So they're going to keep that money. They're going to continue to sign guys, do all these kind of things, but they do have a few bucks. And if Cooper, for example, is like, you know, I could resurrect my career with Kyle Shanahan in this offense. I could play until Ayuk comes back. And I'd feel a lot better if Amari Cooper, even though he's older, took Ayuk's spot versus, say, a DeMarcus Robinson, and Robinson was more of a depth piece than a starter to be counted on. I would absolutely love that. And if it was Cooper, you know, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, with McCaffrey, with Kittle, I'd feel a lot better about that. There's no doubt. But they need a deep safety, I believe, with that young secondary. Demo Lenore, great. Renardo Green, second year. Jair Brown, a little nervous. It might be, you know, we don't know at strong safety. It was going to be Malik Mustafa, Sigel, the kid out of Kansas State. You're going to count on a rookie. I would just, you know, with as young as that secondary is, I would love a guy like Julian Blackmon. So anyway, just saying. 49ers pickups is where I am, or 49ers pickup, I should say, is where I am on the screen right now. And there's a couple of names. I was surprised in that Bleacher Report piece. I'm like, damn, that guy's out there? That guy's out there? Like, not bad. Not bad. There's some decent names out there. So anyway, there's some thoughts there. Let me double check before I move off of NFL talk. Do I have anything below here? No, I do not. All right, any NFL talk? Hi, Tribe. Good to see you. I love it, man. People are going at it this morning. I love it. Good morning to everybody. If you just joined us, by the way, I really appreciate everybody on a Memorial Day weekend jumping in. It is John Lund Unleashed. Please make sure you are subscribed on YouTube this morning. Make sure that you have those alerts on, because this is not the only time I'll be on today. We got other things that we're going to be sending out today on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please give us a like, because that helps the algorithm to go, that show's not half bad. And make sure that you're subscribed on the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube as well. Thanks this morning for watching on X at John Lund Radio, and on Instagram as well at John Lund Radio. If you got any questions, comments, thoughts, put them right underneath here, and I will make sure to get to as many as I can. And if you have any other questions and you're like, just go to X. I'm on there a lot. And you can hit me up at John Lund Radio on X. All right, as far as the NBA playoffs are concerned, I love Kevin Harlan deeply, of course. But I saw this morning, and it just cracked me up. And I don't know if they just get to have more fun, whatever the case may be, but you always hear foreign calls of certain things. So this is Pacers-Knicks yesterday, and it's hilarious. This is a South Korean call. I mean, the end one. I won! Unbelievable. Anyway, like, Harlan's really, really good. And I played that thing for you the other day when everything got thrown into his lap. But the Korean call of and one, I just like the and one part where they were screaming and one. That was outstanding. As far as the series are concerned, look, I'm not here to say I told you so. Oklahoma City's a nice team. And I don't want to be pissed, and I don't want to be upset. And if we have any of my Seattle listeners and viewers watching or listening, I go on to a friend of mine's show, Ian Furness at KJR in Seattle, every Tuesday. We've known each other for 25 years, and we just have a bunch of fun together. We've done radio shows and all sorts of different stuff and worked at the same stations, and he's an awesome dude. And so I'm not an Oklahoma City fan for the very reason of they should have never taken the Sonics out of Seattle. I don't care if Harold Schultz, the owner of Starbucks, whatever. You can't do that. Like, if Oklahoma City's deserving of an expansion team, that's one thing. But to take Kevin Durant after his first year out of Seattle and say, okay, we're going to Oklahoma City, nothing against Oklahoma City and the people of Oklahoma City, but come on, man. They are going to get a team back up there, which rightfully they should. They are going to put a team in Las Vegas, which, because Vegas is blown up, that's just what's going to happen. So they're going to get their team back. But the thing that pisses me off, I guess, is during the broadcast, they sit there and they say, well, they haven't won a title since 79. No. Oklahoma City's never won a title. The teams, when they move, they should absolutely positively have to leave everything behind. Like, I haven't looked at a media guide for Oklahoma City, but they're not the Sonics. They didn't win a title in 79. They moved there, whatever the year they moved there. Their legacy is Durant and Harden and Westbrook and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all that kind of stuff. They don't get downtown Freddie Brown. They don't get Gus Williams. You know, they don't get a 79 championship. They don't get Jack Sigma. They don't get Rain Man. They don't get Gary Payton. That's Seattle, man. So when a team leaves, you leave the legacy behind, and that team stays in whatever city, in this case, Seattle. Like, that's their team. You left. You're Oklahoma City. You didn't ever win a title. So stop it. So there's that part of it. So I'm not an Oklahoma City guy, because I got the backs of my friends in Seattle because of the whole Sonic situation. But a lot of people are already anointing them, or had been anointing them, as one of the greatest teams of all time. They haven't won anything. Like, people were talking about them along with the 73-win Warriors. Oh, they didn't win a title, but, or, you know, they're talking about Jordan's Bulls and all this, you know, all this kind of greatest regular season. Look, they're a good team. I got a ton of respect for them. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara. Like, that's a good team, all right? Really good team. Have won nothing. And so there's all these debates on the, you know, the talking head shows of ESPN. Mike Greenberg actually came out a couple of months ago and said, is this the greatest regular season of all time? Like, what are you talking about? Did you ever watch how great the Bulls were? And they had done something. Or how great the Warriors were. And yeah, they didn't win a title that year, but they had won titles previously. And so we were having the discussions about great regular seasons. This team's won nothing. So look, I'm not saying they can't bounce back. And a lot of times when you lose by 40 or 50, it's a hell of a lot easier to bounce back. You put your guys on the bench, they rest, all those kind of things. I'm not saying Minnesota's going to win this series, but I didn't think it was going to be a blowout. And all of a sudden, you know, 2-0, they're going to the next round. They're going to the finals. Who are they going to play? Are they this and that? And now it's a 2-1 series, and it's a series. And if Minnesota ties the thing at 2, all of a sudden it's like, whoa. Now, look, again, Oklahoma City is good. All respect. All respect. But this, it was so premature about the way that they were being talked about. I was like, are you kidding me? So anyway, there's that. As far as the Knicks and Pacers are concerned, as you just saw, even though I just played the South Korean broadcast, Karl-Anthony Towns steps up. New York gets that win. I was shocked. Game two, and I haven't talked to you since then. Game two, I'm thinking New York's going to win. The game's tight. The game's close. Indiana pulls that one out. And I've always had this premise because I am a conspiracy theorist after all. Is the NBA really going to allow Oklahoma City and Indiana in the NBA Finals? Because they were both up 2-0. I was like, this isn't happening. Now, look, Minnesota's not a major market, so whoever comes from the West is going to come from a smaller market. But New York is sitting there as the number one media market in the country, and the NBA is going, please, 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 please save our TV rating. Because I don't know, are you going to watch? If it's Oklahoma City and Indiana, are you going to watch it as much as if it was New York? Because what do we do with New York? What do we love to do with sports fans? We love to root for our team or root against another team. And New York, generally speaking, you root against them. Just like LA here, generally speaking, we root against them. So if your team can't be in it, then you want to be able to have a rooting interest in rooting against another team. And New York, and the NBA knows this, New York, you're going to get the TV sets in New York, you're going to get the eyes in New York, so you're going to get automatic ratings. But you're also going to get people from other places around the country going, I hope New York doesn't win because I don't want to hear it. So at least they elicit some sort of response, some sort of emotion. Whereas if Oklahoma City plays Indiana, I don't know. I guess I'll watch because it's my job. But if it wasn't, I don't know that I would. So anyway, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think New York's going to come back in that series and win because there's going to be a small market team coming from the West. So I could be wrong. So give me your thoughts there. Any NBA thoughts, NBA playoffs? Any NBA playoff thoughts? By the way, one other quick thing, and I don't have it on my board there. Let's see. Did I skills the NBA? Let's see. The NBA better allow it. The NBA better allow it. Those teams aren't. By the way, I don't know why everything's coming up black today. Did I change that thing? All the things are coming up. Anyway, they usually come up white. Doesn't matter. Anyway, as far as every time you turn on social media, or every time you pop on social media, there's a new destination for Jonathan Kuminga. Like every other team, fan base wants him. Like I saw Utah, San Antonio, there's all the Milwaukee, Phoenix, Miami. Like every time I turn, there's some kind of trade proposal for Jonathan Kuminga. Don't get me wrong. I think 100% Jonathan Kuminga is going. It's just some of these ones are like, wow. And his value with some of these teams, like Utah thinks I've read a story that they wrote in Utah the other day, and I think they think that he's really going to save their franchise. And I'm like, Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't. Not only do I think, again, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Not only 420 do I think the NBA doesn't want those series to go 3-0. Now, look, Minnesota blew out Oklahoma City so badly that you can't say that there was officiating as part of that whole thing. But I don't think they're going to allow Indiana and either Minnesota or Oklahoma City. I could be 100% wrong. And if that does happen, I'll come in here and go, oh, my conspiracy theory was wrong. But I do believe that I am a conspiracy theorist, and I do believe that that's kind of going to be happening. So anyway, there you go. Let's see. Are people talking about drinking already? You can throw me off with that kind of stuff. What do we got? Anything? What is everybody doing today, by the way? Hanging out, just hanging out for this day? Yeah, we're just hanging. We don't have any plans today. Because like I said, I went all the way to SAC. And the problem yesterday was, because I had gone up for a game before, and it was like, boom, boom, coming right back. I live in the East Bay. And problem yesterday was they had some construction going on. So we stayed for the whole game, talked to Chris Townsend afterwards, said hello, caught up with him. And then we get caught up on all the traffic. And like I said, it's a smaller ballpark, so it's not so bad. And it's in West Sacramento, so it's right off the freeway. But they had some construction going on. And, yeah, it took us a bit. We were gassed when we got home. We're like, okay, enough of that. Let's see, what else? Anything else today? Episode 150, Robbie Ray's been great. Motown Showdown, 10-10. Get ready. We're about an hour away, 10-10. I should have had a Bloody Mary this morning. 10-10 for Tigers and Giants. Big start for Hayden Birdsong. Are the Giants for real? ESPN doesn't think so. I do. 2012, Pablo's three home runs. Barry Zito beating Verlander. Too bad Verlander's not pitching in the series. Brock's real deal part two. Over the cap still has it as 3 years, and then it's a $16 million out. I think Spot Rack probably has it right. They changed it to 3 years with a $38 million out. Still really doesn't change the premise. If they don't love Brock Purdy in 3 years, they're not going to keep him around, but I think they will and do and still will. 49ers pickup we talked about. Bleacher Report says Amari Cooper. I say Julian Blackman, the safety. Or it could be Justin Simmons or could be, but whatever. They've got a few bucks, and it would not surprise me whatsoever if the 49ers, one of these veterans that are still on the street, whether it be a receiver, whether it be a safety, would not surprise me in the slightest if the 49ers went that route. NBA playoffs, we just discussed 2-1 series in both. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think the Knicks are going to come back and win that series. I could be wrong. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, I don't have a news story in this, which I'm really angry about, because there has to be one and it has to be good. So maybe on tomorrow's show, I'll see if I can find this. Let me shut this down. I'll see if I can find a news story in this, because the news story would be absolutely amazing on this. But I looked. I did try. I will say that. I did effort, and I could not find a news story in this. And you know how I am. I love having the news story because I love having the people have to like read stories like this. So I will figure that out. But it is time for your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
All right, here's the story. She ate her cheating husband's ashes in a fit of rage and despair. Now a dark wave of confession is emerging. Let's read this together. Hold on a second. I don't need all that stuff. What's all that weird stuff? Oh, are you not going to let me read this? Try now for $0, then 50 cents a week. Oh, come on, man. I thought there was a story here. Oh, sorry, I screwed up. She ate her cheating husband's ashes in a fit of rage and despair. Now a dark... I thought that there is a story here, but I'm not going to pay for it. I apologize. I screwed up. Boy, is this embarrassing. Anyway, there you go. I guess we can speculate on that, or I can try to find another version of the story. So hang on 1 second. I'm going to find this because I'm not going to pay for it. I'm at my, you know, I'm not paying for the, what is this? The daily something or other. Woman eats husband's ashes. Let's see here. I got to get a story in this. Now I have to pay for it. This is common. Woman eats addicted to eat her husband's ashes. Canadian woman eats her late husband's ashes. Lady eats her husband's ashes. That's 7 months ago. I need the tennis man to catch you shit now. God, lots of women eat their husband's ashes. What is that all about? I want the one that just happened. October 5, 2024. No, where is it? Geez, I don't have the new one here without having to pay for it. Woman hooked on eating her husband's ashes. Should I just bring that up anyway and just read about that since that's her name? Yeah, this is a weird one. Oh, my God. Cassie Adams. Okay, hold on 1 second. This might even be better. Shut that window. My goodness, man. Cassie Adams is addicted to snacking on her late husband's ashes, sometimes as often as 5 times a day. She admits on TLC's My Strange Addiction that she fell into an odd, arguably grotesque habit of dipping her moistened fingers into her husband's remains and licking off the charred powder, and can't stop doing it. It started when Adams accidentally dirtied her hands with her husband's late ashes and felt it would be disrespectful to just wash them off, though she found the experience unpleasant at first. She compares the taste to rotten eggs. Oh my God. The act eventually came to her pleasure. She also says it helped her lose weight. She claims she has lost 47 pounds since her husband passed away. Okay, that's weird. If it tastes like rotten eggs, I don't even care. Like, that sounds like Ozempic to me. Like, if it tastes like rotten eggs, I'm just not doing it. So that's not this story, but it might even be a better story. So he says sometimes we can stumble onto things that we didn't even know we stumbled onto. She was addicted to eating her husband's ashes. That's strange. That's weird. If they tasted good, I mean, it might be one thing. And you're like, oh, okay, I feel real close to my significant other, but not there. So that's a little weird, strange addiction. I have not seen that show. Is that show still on? Because maybe I'll start watching it, and it'll be part of my my wife lately is like, let's watch this. I don't have time. I just don't have time, man. Asses or ashes? Ashes. Ashes. Yeah, her dead husband's ashes. I need to enunciate better. Ashes. Yeah, it sounds like ashes. Good morning to you, by the way. It's very nice to see you, Tony. Let's see. Oh, Danny, are you talking about Danny? He's there. What else do we have? Do we have anything else today before we jump out of here? I'll let you enjoy your day. Plus, you got to get ready for the Giants, less than an hour away. And like I said, they get a break because no Tarik Skubal, and big game for Mr. Birdsong today. Anything else that we need to hit up today? Very nice to see everybody, by the way. Very nice. Good out. By the way, good turnout today. On a Memorial Day weekend. Good to see Tommy is here today. 49ers Faithful is here today. Tony, it's nice to see you. AJ, good morning to you. So great turnout today. I really appreciate everybody coming out on a Monday edition of the program. Anything else that we need to hit up here? I think we are fine. We are good. Do I have anything else on the board here? Don't leave anywhere, because here's what we're going to do. We will have more today. I got a few different things I want to clarify. Brock's situation. A couple of the things we wanted to, got a couple of shorts coming out today. Got a piece that I'm writing up on the blog today, because I disagree with the ESPN guys, and I'll tell you why. I think the Giants are in this for the long term, so we'll do that as well. Christian, good morning to you. As I see you up on the board, really good to see everybody. Powwow, I think I said good morning to you. So anyway, I hope everybody has a tremendous, tremendous day. I hope it's relaxing. I hope you are off today. That would be outstanding. And what else do we have? I think that is it for today. We just put a short show together to just say hi on Memorial Day. But hope everybody has a great day. Enjoy watching the Giants at about 10:10 Pacific time as they are in Detroit. And it is a big series, I think. And as I pointed out before and I shared my screen with you, they do have a good pitching match, because, like I said, Skubal being gone really helps the Giants. Let me just pop that up one more time. There you go. Today, big pitching matchup. Birdsong should have the advantage. Webb should have the advantage. Roop should have the advantage, although that's kind of iffy. But there you go. And then they continue the road trip in Miami to take on the Marlins. So there you go. And that is the Giants side of things. And again, starts at 10:10 this morning. All right, everybody have a tremendous Monday. I appreciate you hanging out. It is John Lund Unleashed. A couple of quick things before I get out of here today. Do remember, make sure you subscribe. That would be outstanding. Really, really, really appreciate it as always. Make sure that you're on the Bay Area Sports Collective. Thank you today for watching on YouTube. Thank you for watching on X today. Thank you for watching on Instagram. And one more time, remember, my good friend, that's right, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. And my wife and I were talking about it. She's going back in, actually, for more stem cell because her shoulder, her elbow, they're feeling great. Tell Dr. Riopelle I sent you over, and he'll take extra good care of you, if you know what I mean. Just click on that QR code right there, and he'll take you right through to the website. Stem cell, he was one of the first in California to do it. My wife's elbow, her shoulder, absolutely feeling great. I told you we were in Vegas about a month ago. She's like, I couldn't be walking around right now if it wasn't for Dr. Riopelle, at least this much. We walked around a ton. You know how it is in Vegas. And so she was feeling great. So if you did not get to the QR code right there and you can't click on the QR code or whatever the case with your phone, you're challenged that way. My mom, she can, how do you figure out these QR codes? So all you got to do, just Google Dr. Riopelle, R-I-O, P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. He's right there in San Ramon. If you're not in the East Bay, I'm telling you, it is worth it. He was one of the first ones to do stem cell, and you're going to be feeling great. So make sure that you hit that up right there. And then, of course, like I told you about a couple of weeks ago, I do this every 4 months. I got low T, and I'm feeling much better. As you can tell, because you talk to me pretty much every day. I'm in a great mood all the time. I've got tremendous energy. Losing weight is easier. You just feel like yourself. Low T, it's really simple. Take a quick blood test. He does a short procedure, and you're set for 4 months. There's no shots every single week. It's absolutely great. So I'm doing the low T with Dr. Riopelle. My wife does stem cell, and she can't say enough good things about it. Plus, Dr. Riopelle does all sorts of other procedures. It's not just these two. So to check it out one more time, click that up on the screen. Hit that with your phone, and you can go directly to the website and make your appointment or just find out more. And if you don't hit that up, then make sure you Google it, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle in San Ramon, and tell him I sent you over because he'll take extra good care of you. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle right there in San Ramon. Thanks for hanging out. Have a great Memorial Day. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Let's watch the Giants. 10-10, big matchup for Mr. Birdsong. Going to be a huge game today. Have a great rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you at 8 a.m. tomorrow and other stuff coming out. So make sure those alerts are on. And please give us a like before you get out of here on YouTube. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!